I'd like to share with you my personal involvement in literature ministry. When I first became a Christian, I had no knowledge that there was any such thing as a Christian book other than the Bible. And I began to suspect that a couple years later. But my real consciousness that there were Christian books came 3.5 years after I became a Christian. In the spring of 1951, the ship I was on came into Hong Kong. And while walking through Kowloon, I came across the Biola bookstore and bought several books, including an InterVarsity Hymns. In the next several years, while I was on active duty, I'd send to InterVarsity Press and buy 100 InterVarsity booklets at a time and use them in my own personal witness. And I did this for several years. In 1955 and 1956, we were living in Japan and were able to have some weekend conferences for the Officers' Christian Union. At that time, got the Christian Literature Crusade to have a book table at each of these conferences. And my interest in books greatly increased. In the fall of 1956, we moved to Washington, D.C., where I was on the staff of the Officers' Christian Union for the East Coast. After a year of traveling to the service academies with a briefcase full of booklets and books, I became very conscious of the need for more books. I came across six people during that first year who had come to Christ while they were alone, either reading the New Testament, reading a tract, or reading booklets that I'd given them. I realized that if I were going to be responsible for many military bases and the service academies on the East Coast, that I could extend my personal ministry almost in an unlimited fashion in quality and in quantity and in time by the use of books. The books could be all of these places when I could only be in those places. The books could be written on by experts on any subject where I would not be an expert on most of them. And the booklets and books could be working in the lives of people at midnight while I was in some other town sleeping. Quality, quantity, and time, I could greatly extend my personal ministry. I realized I needed more books and came up with the idea of a bookstore near the main gate of the Naval Academy in Annapolis. In November 1958, the Officers' Christian Union opened up this bookstore, not only to give me greater access to people with books, but also to give me more personal access. Midshipmen and others would come into the bookstore because they were seeking, not because I was after them. Well, this turned out to be wonderfully true. The Officers' Christian Union decided, however, to close the bookstore 3 years later, the end of 1961. A small group of Christians formed another corporation, now called Christian Literature Missions, and opened, bought the stock from the Officers' Christian Union and kept it open. I stayed with the bookstore and left the staff of the OCU. Because I was not traveling, the personal ministry at the Naval Academy greatly increased. 2 years later, in the spring of 1963, I was meditating on how much effect this literature mission at the Naval Academy had had, and realized that if we'd had this much effect at the Naval Academy when it only had 4,000 students, and they were locked up behind the walls most of the time, how much more effect could we have for the kingdom if we were at Penn State at State College, Pennsylvania, where there were 20,000 students and an unlimited access to the town, and really no place else to go. This had me interested, so I checked in Christian Booksellers directory to see if there was a Christian bookstore there already. There was not, and that increased my interest, so I checked other university towns in the country, just for memory, places like Princeton and Yale, Charlottesville, Virginia, Boulder, Colorado, Ann Arbor, Michigan, Urbana, Illinois, Cambridge, Massachusetts, and drew a blank. There were no Christian bookstores at any of these university towns. So I kept checking. I kept coming up with no Christian bookstores in university towns. The result of this was some thinking on why it wasn't so, and found out that at that time there were probably only less than 10,000 Christian books in English, and the overwhelming majority of them were written by Christians for Christians. And most of the Christian bookstores in the country were free enterprise attempts to make a living and serve the Lord. In order to make a living selling Christian books, which were written for Christians, you had to be where there is a population of Christians in order to sell a minimum number of books to make the living. This turned out to be big cities or towns that had a high percentage of evangelicals in the town. Places like Wheaton, Illinois, Anderson, Indiana, Winona Lake. But the Secular University town did not fit this qualification. There were not high percentages of evangelicals in Secular University towns. In fact, there was probably a very low percentage at the time. The other reason, you had to be where there was extra money. And in those days, university students did not have extra money. And this explained why Christian bookstores in university towns did not stay in business. However, a university town is a literate community and a seeking community, a place where people look for answers, and a place where they can read and do read. So it was more than a right place to have a Christian bookstore, but it couldn't function on a free enterprise basis. But it also had me wondering that the first place a mission society would open up a Christian bookstore was next to the university overseas. And it was the last place that Christian bookstores opened up here, for the simple reason that overseas mission boards did not mind subsidizing an effective ministry. But we were considered a Christian country and a free enterprise place, and we never thought in terms of subsidizing something that looked like a business in this country. So there weren't any Christian bookstores near universities. I shared this at a faculty conference that we sponsored, and John Stanford suggested that rather than thinking in terms of Penn State, we should think in terms of the University of Maryland, because there was a vacant bookstore one block from the University of Maryland, and it still said books in the window. In a wonderful way, we made the decision, the board made the decision, to open up a bookstore in College Park, Maryland. The Lord led us to the right man, Don Hudson, and led him to us, and he directed that mission very effectively, I think for 7 years. In the meantime, we began to get interest from other university towns in the country. So I corresponded with the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship over a period of several years. And they came to the conclusion that it couldn't be done. But after the Booksellers Convention in 65 in Philadelphia, where I saw Jim Nyquist, and then in 1966, ran into Keith Hunt and John Alexander. They got more interested and decided to open up a bookstore in Ann Arbor, Michigan. In April of 1968, at Ivy's request, and under the direction of the Lord, Bessie and I, the family, moved to Ann Arbor to help open up the first bookstore, first Logos bookstore. Jim Carlson was the manager, and I was responsible for the ministry. This became the prototype store for successive Logos bookstores, most of them in university towns. I stayed within a varsity 1 year, and Jim Carlson has since headed up the Logos Corporation, which I think has pretty close to 70 bookstores. We also did some thinking over the years in terms of the most effective place to concentrate a ministry. And through some study and thinking while still in the Navy on the subject of the principles of war, came to a conclusion that the most decisive point in any one state was a major university in a small town. A major university in a large city wasn't as decisive as a major university in a small town. We waited on the Lord for direction, and in 1971, we were led to Inland Christian Layman, a small nonprofit ministry corporation in the Northwest. We wanted to get a literature ministry started. We believed that this really fitted the things that we had thought before, and that is, we had two major universities in two small towns in two different states, 8 miles apart. Washington State University in Pullman, Washington, and the University of Idaho in Moscow, Idaho. We opened up One Way Books in Pullman in August of 71 and Crossroads Bookstore at the University of Idaho in November 71. Since then, Elmer Hebert, who started Inland Christian Layman, has opened up a store at Arizona State University in Tempe. And right at this moment, we have two missionaries in Laramie, Wyoming, waiting on the Lord with a small committee of interested people to open up a literature mission near the University of Wyoming. I would like to share with you part of our thinking and policy in the way we conduct these missions. Each of the organizations I've been with that had to do with a bookstore, the Officers Christian Union, University Christian Fellowship, Christian Literature Ministries, and Inland Christian Layman have all been non-profit Christian corporations. Each store could certainly be a regular profit corporation. We'd prefer to have a nonprofit for the following reasons. Number one, if we are in a place that has a marginal ministry, that is a small town, and a secular university, the combination of which really makes our Christian business marginal. If it had been a successful place for Christian bookstores, free enterprise would have opened up in these major universities and small towns long ago. And if we are running a free enterprise, marginal business, and our livelihood is dependent upon that, we are less likely to give away a book or loan a book. We may not be less likely to give away one book. We could always see our way to do that. But if the one book turns out to be later hundreds of books, then our marginal ministry has really become sub-marginal and probably bankrupt if run it as a free enterprise ministry. We could run it as a free enterprise and be very careful on how we give away books or loan books. We'd like not to be that careful. We're here to reach the population of the state, really centering on one place, the university town. Our ministry is twofold in the store. One, it's personal, and second, it's literature. In order to have an effective personal ministry, we deliberately keep the store overstaffed. This is another reason why it would not go as a free enterprise movement. you couldn't have the store overstaffed and still pay the staff in a free enterprise Christian bookstore in a small town. We have the store overstaffed so that we can always take time with people who are looking for answers and want to talk without neglecting a customer, and still getting the paperwork done and the orders done and everything current. So we have at least one additional person over and above the number of people it takes to run the store. If it takes two people to run the store, we'll have three people in it. If it takes four people, we'll have at least five. Just a thought on the actual economics of a store. When I purchase a book at 40% discount, that means if it retails at a dollar, I buy it for 60 cents. When I sell the book at $1, I take 60 cents and repurchase the book. With the 40 cents, I pay the postage for mailing the book to us, the rent for the store, the light, the heat, the advertising, the telephone, and salaries if it's on this a free enterprise. And I shouldn't be able to take more than 15% out for salaries. If I have $6,000 worth of capital and put the $6,000 into book stock, when I sell all of those books, I sell them for $10,000. The $6,000 I use to repurchase the book, and the $4,000 is available for the expenses I mentioned. If I sell each of the books three times during the year, then for the same $6,000, my initial $6,000 capital, which I bought books with, sold them, repurchased the books with the same $6,000, sold them again, and repurchased them again with the same $6,000, then for my $6,000 capital, I can sell $30,000 worth of books retail. They retail $10,000 each time I turn them over. So if I turn them over three times, with my $6,000, I can sell $30,000 worth of books. If I turn them over four times, I can sell $40,000 worth of books. But at the most, 15% of the gross sales, that's the retail value of what I sell during the year, can be used for salaries. So if I sold $30,000 worth of books a year, 15% of that would be $4,500 that is available for salaries. That's very marginal for one person. So I can't have two people, at least two people on salary in the store. And $30,000 is not enough gross sales to make the store pay for itself. But in a town that previously never had any Christian literature, $30,000 worth of paperback books is a lot of Christian literature in the town. We think that it is worth it to have the extra people in the store, so we do not pay any salaries from the sale of books. That gives us 15% more to work with in terms of giving away books, or in terms of expanding your stock, improving the store, to increase the total outreach literature-wise. If I give away a book, say a dollar book, I'm not only giving away the profit, I've given away the ability to repurchase the book. I give away my 60 cents, I give away the light, the heat, the rent, the telephone, and any little clear bit, maybe 5 cents, that I could use to increase the stock with. I give it all away. Now, if I do this hundreds of times, after I repurchase a book that I've sold and paid the overhead expenses with the remainder, say another 35 cents, I have 5 cents clear profit. If I give it away, I've given away the 60 cents, I've given away the overhead expenses, and I've given away the 5 cents clear profit. So I have to sell at least a dozen books at 5 cents clear profit to pay for the ability to repurchase the one I gave away at 60 cents. I have to sell 20 of them to make it up completely. That's if we were doing it free enterprise. But we're not. We are trusting the Lord to provide the salaries for the staff. We're trusting the Lord to provide money that we can honestly give away books and still not go below our stock level and still have all our publishers paid. We've been fairly able to do this. Our bookstores do not sell a lot. One store sells about $20,000 a year, another about $30,000, another about $50,000. But each of these have had one wonderful ministry in terms of both personal and literature evangelism. We give away hundreds of books a year, loan hundreds more, and also loan over 400 tapes. Actually, many more than that, 400 per store. Some of this is probably wasted in terms of actual fruit that we can later identify and pick up. But the whole spiritual tenor of the town, of the towns that we've been in, has changed because of this kind of a ministry. There are other things that we've used the bookstore for. Not only is it a place of personal evangelism and literature evangelism, we use it as a place to unify the believers, to introduce people who have different doctrinal positions but clearly know the Lord Jesus Christ. We use it as a place to build up the believers, again, in personal counseling and in giving books. But even more important than the direct ministry of the bookstore, we've used it as a sort of a headquarters, a command post, for many other things that take place in the town. Everything from Christian concerts, noon Bible lectures at each of the universities, courtship and marriage classes at two of the three universities, classes for engaged and married people at two of the universities. We also have sponsored conferences, faculty conferences, student conferences, women's conferences, not in place of what the churches or the other groups are doing, but if we found a place that hasn't been adequately covered, we'll feel free to go ahead and sponsor it. It gives us versatility in other outreaches, radio ministry, advertising using scripture texts in the newspapers. All of these are not directly related to the bookstore, but they are indirectly related to the bookstore, all out of the nonprofit corporation or out of something very similar to that. The result is that not only the character of the town changes, but so does the character of the state as we export more and more people who've graduated to other parts of the state. The character of the churches have really upgraded, both in the congregation and in the pulpit. We don't think it's directly a result of the bookstore, but we really believe that the bookstore ministry has had an indirect effect upon this part of the ministry in the city. We could probably give you hundreds of examples of people who have come to Christ here in the stores. An example, a few years ago, I was in a counseling situation upstairs in the office when the telephone rang downstairs and I was called to the phone. When I got down there, I found out somebody else was waiting to see me, and I answered the phone, then I noticed that two of the three staff members were in very strong witnessing situations. And I was busy with somebody upstairs, somebody waiting to see me, when a student, well, actually he wasn't a student, he was a young man, student age, but he was a hermit. He lived out in the mountains about 50 miles from here. And he came in and he said very loudly, "I am returning these two books." Well, since everybody was involved in a conversation, nobody paid any attention to him. So he walked to the rear of the store, and then he announced to everybody very loudly that he'd put the books in the counter. So he went up and placed them on the counter up in the front of the store, and I thought at that time he was going to leave. But he didn't. He turned around and came back and stood there. So instead of going back upstairs to continue the conversation I was in, or even the person who was waiting for me, I went up to the counter to see which books he had left there. And it was The Cross and the Switchblade and Basic Christianity by John Stott. Well, when he had come in before, he had checked the secular bookstore, but it was closed. He was looking for some mystery reading or occult reading or some sort of reading to read in his cabin out in the mountains. Since the secular store was closed, he'd come in hours, and Barbara had loaned him these two books. She had loaned him The Cross and the Switchblade to get his interest up, and gave him Basic Christianity to give him the gospel. So when I saw which two books they were, I went back and spoke to him, and I said, "Dad, what do you think of those books?" "Oh," he said, "The Cross and the Switchblade wasn't much, but that Basic Christianity was really loaded." I said, "Would you like to talk to somebody?" And he said, "Yes, I would." I said, "Does it make any difference to whom you speak?" And he said, "No, he'd talk to anybody." Well, there's one of the people in the store still was not involved with anybody, so I called her. I said, "Nancy, take this fellow down into the Narnia room and lead him to the Lord." He was that ready. And she did. His name is Dale Peterson. Well, this sort of thing has happened many, many times. It doesn't happen daily. But I suppose that we have one good, solid contact a week. Minimal. Well, that's several hundred a year in each store. This is beside the many Christians that are buying books and reading them and giving them away daily. Another instance, this happened in Annapolis when I had the store there. A midshipman came in and asked if we had a book called Toward Christian Marriage. I said we did. Then I asked him if he was interested in the Christian or in the marriage. And he said he is interested in both. I said, "Well, the book will tell you about the marriage. Let me tell you about the Christian." He said, "All right." So we sat down and I shared the gospel with him. 2 weeks later, he came back in and I said, "Did you make that commitment we talked about?" And he said, "I sure did." I said, "Are you sure of your salvation now?" He said, "Oh boy, I don't know." I said, "How come you don't know?" He said, "Well, I'm suspicious of all this emotion." I said, "What emotion?" He said, "I feel great." I said, "Well, sit down, we'll talk about it." I said, "Was this emotion that we're talking about the cause of your commitment or the result of your commitment?" He said, "What's the result of it?" I said, "I wouldn't worry about it." His name's Bob Greenman, and he is a commanding officer of one of the nuclear submarines in the Atlantic Fleet today. The ministry in literature, and again, in quality and quantity, and the combination of the personal witness is pretty hard to beat. When the Apostle Paul wrote his last letter to Timothy, he asked Timothy to send him Mark and send him the parchments. It was important to Paul to have a personal ministry from Mark, with Mark, and the scriptures. He was asking for men and for books. God, when he wanted to reveal himself to man, he sent us a man, and he sent us a book. I really believe the primary means of reaching this world is through men and books. And this is the kind of combination we are seeking to utilize in this literature mission. If you have any kind of request for information, please send them to Jim Wilson, Moscow, as in Moscow, Russia, but as Moscow, Idaho, 83843.